here it is. We did it. Episode 2 of Regular Guy Gaming. We got past the 50 board members. We got a unanimous vote, so we will be here for some time. So I'm really excited, wanting to bring you guys great gaming entertainment. It's fun. I enjoyed it. This show was actually really easy to do because we brought on Alex Riley, AC Riley, professional wrestling name, or Riles Beniles here in the gaming world. You'll hear me mess that name up multiple times because I see him as Wrong Alex Riley on PS4, so that's what I see all the time. But this is Riles Beniles. This is his time. This is us asking him about his love for Bethesda and what it means to him. How does it resonate with him, and how it has worked its way into his gimmick. This one was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope we can get more people on in the future like this, because honestly, I didn't really have to say much. So, thank you very much for tuning in again. Here we go.
And welcome to another edition of Reg Guy Gaming, the new podcast on the Grapple Talk Network. Ragbag joining you here tonight, and co-host RGG is also on the, what is this, the Skype line? I don't even know what to call this. Is that what we're calling this,
the
Skype line?
Did you call me the co-host?
Yeah, you're the co-host, man. I did the intro, so I'm like the main host now. That's how it works, dude.
Regular Guy Gaming, not Reg Guy Gaming for one.
Oh, sorry. Well, Reg Guy Gaming sounds better. Like, we have another guest here, Riles Beniles. Riles Beniles, can you chip in on this, dude?
All I know is that this is probably what death feels like.
This is literally the fucking worst podcast in the entire world right now. It's awful.
I just want to break the fourth wall here. Everybody listening, is that the pilot episode got shared with NXT people, like on the bus, and they gave Red Guy Gaming advice, and clearly he's not listening to it.
No. Riles Beniles, it's Regular Guy Gaming. Let's get that out of the way. Regular Guy.
Got some advice, and clearly he's not following it, because clearly this is off to a great start.
I need my guest to shut his mouth real quick. I need my co-host to be quiet real quick.
That's not nice to say.
Perkins all over again.
Let's start. Why would you bring up Perkins? Thank you once again for listening to Regular Guy Gaming. I really appreciate the feedback from you guys. It was awesome. Thank you very much. I listened to the good. I also listened to the bad. I really appreciated it. So I made sure to take notes. I made sure this show will be better than, obviously, the pilot. And one of the big things was
You're like a legit podcaster. Whenever we do Grapple Talk, we literally just fuck everything up, and then we just do the next episode worse. That's how we do things.
Let's improve on this next time, Regular Guy Gaming.
Oh, all right, we have the Grapple Talk Alex Network. Riley.
Hey,
whoa, fourth wall, buddy.
Fourth wall, buddy. I thought we were talking about code names.
We're starting this shit over now. We're not doing this.
We're starting it over again.
Yeah, we're starting it over.
Guys, I still need to eat dinner. Let's get this shit taken care of. Otherwise, I'm going to go make my pizza right now.
Isaac, I don't have enough beer to listen to this.
Guys, just trust me. Start over, and then let's get into the
All right. Isaac, okay, now you just do the intro, and we'll shut up. We won't say anything. You just do the intro, and then when you want us to talk, you introduce us.
All right, here we go.
Cool?
3, 2... All right. Thank you for listening to... I guess episode 2, which I'm surprised we got. We got, right, Nick? We got it going.
Ragbag, that's my name. We passed the 50 board of directors, and we got episode numero 2 after, you know, let's be honest, RGG, we've been literally trying to figure out this whole recording thing for more than an hour now.
Over an hour, yes.
Thank finally you, have yes. it figured out, and we are... episode number 2 is finally underway. I'm done talking. Like we've already done like 16 intros. Let's just do the freaking episode.
So what I'm gonna do now is actually I want you to introduce our guest.
Oh,
I do have specific questions, but who better to introduce our guest than Ragbag?
Well, he's my bestest friend of all time. Some of you know him as AC Riley. Some of you know him as the wrong Alex Riley. But to us, he's known as Riles Beniles. I've known this dude since I was a little kid. And as far as gaming is concerned, I've known this dude, it seems like, just as long. I remember the age-old days of us playing Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo all the way to playing Gears of War in high school. Yeah, Contra was always the big thing. So, Riles Beniles is joining us here on Regular Guy Gaming. Riles Beniles, man, you like those Bethesda games, don't you? That's kind of your bread and butter.
You know, I love me some games. I love me some FPS. I love me some RPGs. But I do love me some Bethesda games. Absolutely, 100%.
Now, here is something that I find absolutely just awesome. You don't just love them; you incorporate it with your gimmick, or for those that don't know, you incorporate it with your wrestling, which I didn't really consider to do. Tell me that. Tell me that journey.
For anybody that doesn't know me, I started wrestling in March 2008. The longest time I had the moniker at high school. I was given the nickname the Irishman just because my last name's Riley. And I figured, okay, screw it. That makes sense for a wrestling character at, you know, my starting career. And then I kind of realized I wasn't really doing anything Irish other than saying, oh, I like to fight. I'm a babyface. And it's like, that's kind of stupid. And then Alex Riley, who was Kevin Kiley in Florida, he became Alex Riley in WWE. So I was the original Alex Riley, air quotes. Because, you know.
Nice.
I mean, I wasn't really doing anything. I wasn't really doing anything with that, and then it was just kind of like one of those things where I was kind of finding what my character was, and loved me some Fallout, loved me some Skyrim, Fallout for sure. And then it was one of those things where, you know, as a gamer, you got to get the collector's editions anytime you can, because it's not even about the game; it's about the cool stuff that you get with it.
The statues, nice. The artwork.
So, like, Fallout 3, you get the lunchbox with all the stuff, the bobblehead and everything like that, and that was pretty cool. New Vegas, you get the chips, still have the platinum chip. Well, some asshole actually stole some of the poker chips from the others. So, like, I have, like, two left, but I have the platinum chip. That's the important one. And then Fallout 4, it was a bitch, but finally got me a hold of the Pip-Boy that comes with the collector's edition. And it was one of those things that dawned on me after I opened the package of the Pip-Boy and I was trying it out, and I tried it out with the Vault 111 jacket. I was like, you know what? I actually spent, like, realistically, I spent $200 total, because it was $120 for the collector's edition and the Pip-Boy. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, I already had Fallout. I basically spent $120 on the Pip-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So $120.
And it is cool.
$120 in the Pip-Boy. It is cool. You know, $60 on the jacket from Bethesda. It was kind of like, you know, I spent $200 on this. $200 seems like a lot to just put, like, on a, just to hang on your wall. It's like, oh, I got it. So I was just like,
you better do something with it.
Yeah, so I was just like, screw it. I mean, like, you can wear the Pip-Boy. You can obviously wear the jacket. So I was like, why not do something with that? Nobody else is doing that kind of character. There's always, you know, the post-apocalyptic characters, but nobody was doing, like, a Vault-Tec, post-apocalyptic character. So I was just like, screw it, let's try it. And then it got some good reception. I mean, I was coming out to Dion the Wanderer. Nobody's coming out to 1950s music, doo-wop. Everybody's coming out to, like, hard death metal. It's like, ugh, I hate my girlfriend and this impotence of my soul. It's like, that's dumb.
Yikes.
It's a realistic thing. So it's one of those things where I figured it was different. It's actually got a lot of good reception, and that's why I just said, screw it, let's roll with it. And I've gotten some gear and I have some more gear coming out in the future. So
really quick, before we start jumping into more about our guest, Riles Beniles, I think it'd be great to start off this show with just talking about what everybody's actually playing nowadays. It'd be a good way for us to kind of introduce each other. And Riles Beniles, since you're our guest, why don't you start things off? What are you playing these days, man?
You know, it's going to be really, really controversial for me to say this, considering that giant intro of how I got into the Fallout character. I'm actually taking a break from Fallout 4.
Yikes, dude. Just killing the gimmick, man. What's going on?
I'm only taking a break because absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's at least what I'm telling myself.
I think it's abstinence makes the heart.
I mean, that's only you because you have 50 kids.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Shot him.
He went there.
Dude. No, it's one of those things where, I mean, if you look at my play history of Fallout 4, I've been playing it. I've logged enough hours to basically document more than a week, probably closing in on 2 weeks of total gameplay. Because, like, it's a lot of hours, like, with multiple characters, multiple players.
Yeah, we get it. You play the fucking game, dude. Yep. We get it.
So it's one of those things where it's just, like, I wanted to take a break from it. So I took the break by playing the Deadpool game, finished that, replayed Grand Theft Auto 5, played through Dragon Age Inquisition.
Hey, real quick. Dragon Age
Inquisition. Apparently will never finish Destiny.
Can't.
No, I just apparently never will play anything. I probably won't ever get through the Taken King. Played through Horizon, 100% completion on that. So right now I'm just kind of just playing through some stuff and trying to collect some trophies because I'm an achievement whore. So
I know. Nice, I also saw that you were collecting trophies. I'm surprised you didn't mention this because the new one is coming up, Shadows of Mordor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Shadows of Mordor. I just finished. That was one of the games I had on my 360, and then just basically.
It was a good PS4 sale or whatever, right?
Yeah. So yeah, basically, I got the I got Shadows of Mordor on my 360. Sold my 360 to get Fallout 4. Kind of forgot about Shadows of Mordor, and then there was a sale on the PS Network, so I got that. Played through that just because I wanted to actually complete it because the new one's coming out. So mm-hmm. I just finished that recently. So right now I'm just kind of in PS4 limbo. I'm kind of trying to figure out what my next game is while I'm taking my break from Fallout 4, essentially.
Definitely.
I just got done with Horizon, and I'm going to now do Game Plus. I'm going to do Game Plus.
Nice.
Really quick before you start jumping in, what did you think of the whole story? How did you – because at the end – we talked about this in the last one, but I'm all about the stories of the games. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that one sucked me in, dude. I mean, the best part about Horizon, and I know we're going to get on a tangent now, but the thing I really like about Horizon,
where's that?
And I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you this right now, Riley, I'm going to shoot on you, but when it comes to Bethesda games is that I feel like half the time either it has a shit story and decent gameplay, or it has a decent story and shit gameplay. It's like you never get both. But with Horizon, to me, the reason why it was such a good game is because I could run around and kill these motherfucking robot dinosaurs all day and all night, but then when it came down to it, I was pulled in emotionally to the actual story of the game.
I'm gonna counteract that because I know from watching your gameplay, you don't really check out the data. And Fallout, there's a ton of data on the computers, and there's a bunch of lore in the actual locations and everything like that. You don't really care to do that. Me, I'm not only am I checking out the map and the locations and checking out every terminal, then I go on Wikipedia and check out everything that I miss, and there's a ton of lore in there.
When it comes to Fallout, for me, I just think the Fallout gameplay is kind of garbage, but that's just me,
I mean, I'm not going to disagree that Horizon has a great storyline, and it's one of those things where you start out and it's like, what are you doing? You're just fighting some robot animals. And then, like, once you get throughout the storyline, it's like, ooh, that's... Like, honestly, I didn't even realize where you were in the world, like the post-apocalyptic Horizon world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's one of those things where... sorry, I just had to double-check we were still recording. But we are.
Nice.
For the record.
Way to be a good guy there, bud.
Nice save.
Good catch.
No, you're exploring Horizon, and then I think I asked you this, Ragbag. It was just like, I don't know where this is set up. And it was finally you get to a vantage point where you see, like, Colorado Stadium, and it's like, oh, we're, like, in the Four Corners. Like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Pretty cool.
So, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, Fallout, obviously, Capital Wasteland, Washington, D.C., the Mojave Wasteland, obviously set in New Vegas and Las Vegas, and then, you know, Boston for the Commonwealth and everything. So everything is, like, right in your face of where you are in the world, but it's like Horizon, everything just wiped out. You don't know anything until you actually dig into the game. And that's not even part of the storyline, so you have to find that on your own. Otherwise, you're like, just play through the main storyline. Like, okay, cool, I don't know where I am.
So. That's actually what I was going to segue into. With both these games, one of the key factors is running into the information and background that actually is not a part of the main story or any story. They're in books. That's the big thing with Fallout and Skyrim. And they did that with the data in Horizon as well. So to your first point, I already forgot your tag. What was it?
Which one?
Wrong, Alex Riley. Alex Riley. Sorry, we're on visual, so I'm looking at Riley. What did you say?
You're looking at me, but in reality, you're just looking off camera on my computer.
Yeah, right now, I'm just looking off camera. True.
It's either wrong Alex Riley on the PS4 or Riles on Xbox. Personally, if you're going to choose, if you're going to ask me which my preference is for this interview, I'm going to say Riles Benials, because it's just fun to say.
So
it rolls off the tongue.
Benials, the point that he was making is that when you dive deeper into Fallout and Skyrim, those storylines actually is just as good as Horizons, in my opinion. Because, and I see what you're saying too, Ragbag, when it just lays it out there and it's right there, great storyline, awesome. Some of that stuff, wow. And then the very end of it too blew my mind as well. But then in Skyrim, or I'll say it, in Skyrim, reading the book and you know, is it okay to do spoilers at this point in the game?
Yeah, just do it.
Is that okay?
Let's be honest, the DLC is coming out in like a couple months, so if you haven't played the game, then that's your own fault.
Okay, so with Alduin, when you find out that he was made from the... His job was to destroy and restart worlds. That's what he was designed to do. And you realize that Alduin wasn't actually a bad guy at all. You know what I mean? It's those little things like that that make me go, holy crap. But you wouldn't find that unless you go and read that, which has been connected to exploration.
Well, see, and I think when you look at, to me, the essence of gaming, you know, I don't like going and doing internet research while I'm in the middle of playing a storyline of a game, because I feel like that can spoil it for me. So I really need a game like, I point this one out a lot, like The Last of Us on PS4 or PS3 at the time, quite possibly my favorite game of all time. It's because when you talk about a storyline of a game, it's just like I'm following these characters throughout their journey in this post-apocalyptic wasteland, and I don't need to go up and search for things on the internet. Like, I can enjoy the storytelling while I have a controller in my hands, and it's like I feel like I'm involved in this, opposed to having to go to some wiki page and figure things out and then hopefully not get things spoiled.
Which I know Riley went to the Dragon Age wiki.
I'll say this much, is that it's not like I'm playing Fallout and then stop and then start Wikipediaing everything.
You are lying! You're a liar!
I'll play the game, and then when I'm done playing, when I have some free time, I'm just like, hey, so I was here. I didn't quite understand what the point of this building was. Like, there's the emergency transmitter system in Boston that the gunners use. Yep. And I was just like, what's the deal with that? So I looked at that to try to understand, like, what's the purpose of that transmitter.
Now,
and then I go through the rabbit hole because it's like, oh, here's a hyperlink for this. And it's like, okay, now I want to find out about the gunners. Now I want to find out about their corporal. I want to know what this and that. And it's like, wow, I just spent like an hour just looking at, I just went down the rabbit hole.
Yep. That within itself, great adventure. I would say let's take all that stuff we just said, and all of us played Morrowind, correct? Or is the age difference there?
I played a little bit of Morrowind, but I never finished it like I did Oblivion or Skyrim.
Oblivion or Skyrim, okay, never mind then.
I want to say this much. So we're talking about Fallout storyline versus Horizon storyline.
Yep.
I'm going to say this much, is that for me, I like that there's a lot of invested history, and then everything ties in, and everything's kind of continuous, like everything... You know, reflects on the Great War in 2077, everything, you kind of see what was going on building up to that event and how everybody reacted to it. So you have an invested history of it. Horizon was brand spanking new. It was a brand new game. It had its own storyline. It had everything set up for it. And ultimately, that's why it makes a good storyline, is because you haven't seen it before. You've seen post-apocalyptic. You've seen the end of the world. You've seen... Survive, you know, the humanity after the end of the world, but you haven't seen it in the way that Horizon did. And it's a great storyline. It's one of those things that you have to beat the game to understand what happened and why everything is the way it is, and that blows your mind. So Fallout has a great storyline in each of its games, but it's also building off of the history that it's already had from the first game. So, I mean, we could say the same thing about Horizon when... Hypothetically, we get to like Horizon 4, which I don't think will actually happen. I pray to God that doesn't happen. But if Horizon 4 is like building off of what you already know from the first game. It's basically the sequel upon the sequel upon the sequel upon the sequel.
Yep.
And yep. It's like, all right, cool. Well, then the new game comes out that starts brand spanking new. It's like, oh, that is so much better than Horizon 4. So
I see what you're saying. Yeah, and yeah. I see exactly what you're saying there.
It's basically reading a new series of a book, and you're like, oh, my God, this is so much better than that fourth sequel of that one thing. So.
Okay. All right. So Bethesda in general.
Yes.
And why? I know you just went on, you told the difference between story and storytelling, but it seems to me, through watching you and just getting to know you, that company in general, you really like. You really love all their products, it seems.
Not how it works is a great man.
So, there you go. Why?
I think, honestly, I got hooked on it just because I feel like a little bit of an affiliation maybe with just the tie-in with, like, 1950s stuff, because I'm a huge history buff. I love World War II history. I love, you know, as much as my grades maybe in high school didn't reflect it, I feel like the older I got, you know, and everything, like, you know, I would love watching me some History Channel and figure out what's going on in the world and everything. It's one of those things where I don't really know how to explain it, but, you know, watching my dad, you know, watching old movies with my dad and the whole World War II buildup, the post World War II, the Cold War. Like everything that was going on with that, I could identify that when I played Fallout 3 for the first time. Like, you know, you're in 2277, so he's like, oh man, you know, high powered robots and you know flying cars and all stuff. You're walking around an area that's, you know, destroyed by a nuclear war, and here they are just playing, blasting 1950s music.
Yes.
Having these retro cars with nuclear power engines. It's like, why is that? That's so different, because, you know, like with a Horizon, is that
so the uniqueness? You love the uniqueness.
Exactly, because like Horizon, again, great story, not trashing it whatsoever, but it's like when you're looking through the ruins, everything is futuristic, everything's high-tech, whereas everything's high-tech in Fallout, but the terminals and everything, they're not like plasma screens or like, you know, like holograms or whatever. It's just straight up, it's an old, you know, those old-school terminals, you're listening to old-school music, everybody's talking like they're in the Cold War, and it's literally that theory of, hey, we experienced the Cold War. We were afraid of communism after World War II. And then there's that alternate timeline. It's like, what if we never got away from that Cold
War? Exactly.
Never got over the Red Scare? What if it was what if the Cold War lasted, you know, what if it lasted 100 years? And instead of our fear of the communists in Russia, we were afraid of the communists in China. And that was interesting because it's like, you know, in history, there hasn't been a war with the U.S. and China, at least a global one. Mm-hmm. And here they are, these two continents fighting, and you see what their damage did to the rest of the world and how time kind of froze with its 1950s look and everything. And then I think just over time, playing the game, seeing all this stuff, seeing that and realizing the alternate timeline of what if we never got over the Red Scare? And that causes us the end of the world. For me, so that's like, whoa, that's awesome.
So I think it's safe to say what you really enjoy is you really like that atmosphere. We kind of talked about this during that pilot episode with me and regular guy gaming, RGG, whatever, when we were sitting in that round table. What we liked about video games, you know, one thing that I really like is I really like a game to have really good gameplay. Like, that really drives me in. But then I also like the storytelling aspect of it. Listening to you kind of talk about Fallout a little bit, it's not necessarily about how well the game plays or maybe how good the voice acting is, but it's the atmosphere and all this lore that comes with whatever Fallout is.
I'll admit, Fallout definitely isn't the perfect game. I mean, I can't even count on my fingers how many times I would have to reset Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas because they would just freeze.
Yep.
It was the most frustrating thing on the freaking planet. And then Rage came out, and then I saw the two discs. I'm like, oh, I know exactly why they're doing two discs, because they have way too much content. on one disc, and they don't want the game to freeze, and it worked. And then now with like the new gen, like the PS4s, Xbox yep. One, they can take that kind of, you know, stuff because they're downloading it into the system opposed to just playing a disc.
Yep.
So
there's much more room there. It's,
so yeah. they've definitely improved over time of how to fix everything, but you know, there's still clipping, there's still stuff in the game. Like, all right, come on, man. Like somebody sleeping on the job with this
constant LOD pops.
somebody screwed up here. But at the same time, it's one of those things where the love of the game, the love of the storyline, everything makes me kind of forget the flaws. It's, you know, you guys will relate because, you know, Ragbag's got a fiance and Red Guy has a wife. And it's just like, yeah, your fiance, your wife have flaws, but you love them. Because there's a bunch of different things. There's analogy. It's one of those things where ultimately they have their flaws, but there's so much else that you're like, you know what? I love them too much. It's their flaws.
Here's the biggest thing.
I love them. So Fallout 4, this is my wife for now. Until I get a girl.
There you go.
This is my wife.
I will say this. What you just said.
I don't care.
No, what you said was perfect. No, and that's great. And that shows a love. We have a passion for gaming. And I want more people to see that. I want people to hear that. So other people out there are like, you know what? I love this. It's okay to have that. It's okay to have this passion. But real quick, when my wife is driving and she starts clipping outside the car door and out in the, you know what I mean? And we're still driving. Sometimes I get mad and I do want to kind of push her out and then get in there so that glitch. But you know what? I don't, because I love her. Good point. Wrong, Alex Riley. I had to use
If there's some real life glitching, RGD, you might want to go see a freaking doctor, because you sound like a freaking schizophrenic dude.
Like if your wife is like walking in the middle of the like Rick and Morty, like in the treadmill episode, the scam episode. Like if your wife is walking like in the middle of the gas station, you need to just call an exorcist or something.
Figured it was just a glitch.
Yeah, just like, what is going on? How is she walking through a physical object?
Yes, like I said, passion. You obviously have it, which is one of the big reasons why I wanted you on here as a second person to talk to. Go ahead.
Guys, I want to talk about this really quick because I know that Riles Benales is a devoted viewer, and I know that this is technically supposed to be about him, but can we at least acknowledge that I finished my first series in my video game commentary journey?
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or not.
Why not?
You already talked about it on Grapple Talk, so I was like, he might not want to talk about that again.
I mean, we might as well talk about it, because, I mean, that's the thing. And actually, I will say this much. I hate to cut you off, Ragbag, but since you're talking about your Soma completion on my interview, I'm going to take over the tangent here in a second. Kind of going back to the love of the storyline, love of the immersion into the game. Like, you feel like you're sucked in. You know, we talk about it with Horizon, with Fallout. You definitely felt that with Soma. I'm never going to play Soma in my life. And it's not going to stop me from watching you
play. Especially after watching him. Do you see those things?
Dude,
I will not play that game.
I will never play that game. Nothing. It's nothing against the game. The game is great. The storyline's great. I don't like horror games. I'm going to watch him play it because for me that... You know, I'm not dealing with the actual gameplay. I'm watching him play it and watching him get scared. That's why I can watch him play Outlast, but I'll never play Outlast. But ultimately, the storyline was phenomenal. I got sucked into it, and it's like, oh my god, everything makes sense. They told that great story build up throughout the progression of the game. And so, kind of going back to our conversation about that, with the storyline that sucks you in, it's new, it's different, you know. And again, it's the end of the world, so it's a good transition with everything. So yeah,
pretty much how it was I kind of sat back and I was like, what would be a great game to play on a video game commentary? Because I wanted to play a game that I'd never played before, so that my reactions were sincere. So I found Soma. It was a terrifying game. It was cheap. And I'd never heard of it beforehand, but I heard it was one of the best horror games available on the PSN. So I decided to buy it, and I thought it turned out pretty well.
Guys, I am telling you, let your channel, Ragbag, let them know your channel.
You can go to YouTube, and it's literally just Ragbag, R-A-G-G-B-A-G-G. You can search for my channel there. Still starting up, still kind of fresh. We're still light in the views, but that's A-okay, because honestly, at the end of the day, while I like the recognition, I'm just doing it for myself. That's kind of what it's all about. So,
guys, you got to go to it, because I have sat there laughing. I would sit in between what I'm doing, and I'm just sitting here laughing. Some of the – like when he gets mad – I'm just going to cuss. He doesn't cuss like a regular dude like other people. Other people will be like, ah, shit. Or, ah, fuck. This guy is like, shit, fuck, dick, bitch.
My favorite moment. What
does that mean? So listen to this. Listen to what's up.
My favorite moment in his playthrough is, yeah, I swear a lot. I apologize. Oh, fuck, dude. So he's admitting to his audience he swears too much. And proceeds to follow that up because he got shared.
Dude, the reactions are genuine. Like, I'm literally terrified for my – every time I'm playing Soma, it's always late at night. I have a day job. You know, I hang out with the fiance when I get home from work. So then she goes to bed. I, you know, get curled up in this little office space that I have. I turn all the lights off, and I play frickin' Soma, dude. And it is a just terrifying game. There are just so – because there's so many different villains in it, if that's what you want to call them, monsters or whatever. But – they're not the same. You had a guy that was like the Slenderman. You had another guy that was just following you around a big building. You had another, you know, giant worm thing that was floating around in the abyss. I mean, it's just like it was. So, you had no idea how to, because, you know, as you know, this RGG, when you play enough video games, you understand how maybe characters are programmed. So then you can kind of get a sense for how to defeat that character. But every single monster in that game was different. So I didn't know how to track patterns. I was just like, shit, I don't know what I'm doing. I just don't want to die. What the hell is going on?
All of this is why I don't have a fiance and play horror games. Yeah, that's the reason, right?
That's the reason. Okay, that makes sense.
Question for you, Ragbag. Would you do me a favor then and play Until Dawn? Because I started playing that and went, hell no.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've played probably a good 2 hours of Until Dawn. But I mean, it's not the perfect game to play, I feel like, on your lonesome, but I guess it does seem like the right game to put up on a YouTube channel and share it with the world. So that might be in the future. I know right now I just started a new series, Among the Sleep, where you're actually a toddler. You look through the eyes of a toddler. Your perspective is a toddler. And it's another horror game. I don't know really what to expect. I'm only 30 minutes into that one. I'm hoping to drop another episode here in the next couple of days. But Until Dawn, definitely on my radar for a future game. Horror games are always fun because, like you guys mentioned, it's always hilarious watching people's scared reactions. So that's always one of the easier routes to go.
I will say this much is that even though it wouldn't be classified as a horror game, Fallout 4 has definitely had – or Fallout, I guess, has had its moments. Like, case in point. New Vegas, you're going to the Mojave Outpost and walking just on the street, and then I get attacked by a feral ghoul. And, of course, coming from Fallout 3 where they were only found in the underground. And then it's one of those things where I get attacked, like I'm walking, and I get like, ow, what the hell is that? And I turn around, and it's just a feral ghoul, just one on its own. But it's like, my mind's like, what the fuck's the feral ghoul doing out here?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, in Fallout 4, like, feral ghouls, they're just overwhelming, but they're not really anything terrifying. But at the same time, like, Deathclaws, you know, when those jump in, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, and then you're just like, I kill you, and it's like, no, good luck with that.
You're done. You can't do anything about that.
That's the thing about games like Soma, is that, like, with Fallout, at least, though, you have a fucking gun. You have something. You know, it's like you get back in your corner, it's like, I can do something about this. When it comes to, like, Soma and Outlast and, you know, Amnesia and games Silent Hill.
Why do you think Resident Evil was such a horror game in its day? Because you couldn't just run and gun. It was just like you would have like 5 bullets and like 50 zombies. So you're not going to kill everything in your path, and you have to use stealth. And it's like, I think that's, and like I told you before, it's like the monsters you're facing in Soma not necessarily are the most terrifying thing on the planet. But it's just the fact that they can hurt you, you can't hurt them. That's the terrifying part. So you have to be like, oh, I don't want to touch them. And it's like, hey, that's you over there. I'm going to chase you. It's like, Jesus Christ.
This is a perfect segue, you guys, right into why this game was so good then. And obviously, Ragbag is, the minute I say this, he's going to get it and completely. I mean, this is this horror genre and everything. Why? When Luigi Mansion made its debut, it was absolutely perfect.
Nice name drop.
Absolutely. God damn it.
I'm gonna make you pick that up.
Man.
Pick that up like after the interview's over, but nice name drop. Like seriously, in all seriousness.
Yeah,
I was not expecting that. I was thinking you were gonna expect like some other like actual like straight God up horror game, and then you're just like, yeah, man, it's like Luigi Mansion, you know what I mean? It's like
wow. Those ghosts?
I'm not even going to respond to that.
But I will say you are a pussy because I played a little bit of Luigi Mansion. I can't say there was a time that one of the boos like, actually
Dude, they
me.
Had that shit available at McDonald's. Like, you could play that. They just had it on one of the fucking little TVs there. It's like, want to play Luigi Mansion while you're eating a Big Mac? Go
sure,
ahead.
Why not?
Why do you have such hatred for such a beautiful game?
Shut the fuck up, dude. There's no way.
Oh, man. I can't believe... I'm sorry. I'm at a disbelief that you were really... just like, this is a perfect segue to the game I'm talking about in Ragway. You're gonna
he wanted to get the Luigi Mansion reference in there. That's what he was waiting to get it.
But I was waiting.
How much did your wife pay you to make a Luigi Mansion reference? How much?
My God.
What'd you say again?
I want to know how much your wife paid you to make a Luigi Mansion reference.
Oh, no, I did that because on our last show, the pilot episode, you clearly didn't listen to it. We got into a little bit of a snidbit about Luigi's Mansion, and you guys were talking about horror stuff. So this was the perfect time to once again hit him with Luigi's Mansion.
All right, really quick, guys. Everybody, I want everybody's opinion in this. What is the worst game that you guys have ever played from start to finish?
Oh,
real answers.
Guess go first. Guess first.
No, I gotta think because I played a couple horrible ones, so I need to think about that.
Superman on Nintendo 64. I used to get stuck in the world. You would pick up a car wrong. That game was so bad. Superman for the Nintendo 64. It was garbage.
Nice.
That's worst game ever. And if you guys don't believe me, please Google it. It's a part of, I think it's like top 10 worst games in the world.
Really?
Yeah, and I've actually paid money for that game as a kid.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Nintendo 64.
I'm sorry that you did that.
Google it.
You got something for us, Riles?
I'm still thinking. I'm trying to toss up between what I'm thinking. What's your worst game, Ragbag?
I don't fucking know. I just wanted to ask the question. I asked the question. I don't have to fucking answer it.
My privilege.
I only play good games, guys. I don't make poor decisions.
Yeah, bullshit. I've met your high school girlfriend, remember?
Jesus Christ. Now we're breaking fourth walls.
Ooh, shooting from
Who's your high school girlfriend, AC? Oh, no, you didn't have one. Shoot!
Yeah, well, based on...
God damn, now we're just ripping this shit up.
Pretty good choice, I would say. It was a good investment. All right,
let's get back into video games. Let's stop talking about high school puss.
I don't know. Like,
can I say that?
I can't really say that I played a very terrible game. I guess I would play games that had very anticlimactic endings, if that would make sense.
Oh, I got mine.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, that's a whole different question. So let's go with that. Go ahead.
I got WrestleMania 2000 for the Game Boy Color. That game fucking sucked. That was the worst game I've ever played in my entire life.
I got my garbage. Game, then.
It was a port, so it was like, you know, we had WrestleMania 2000 for the N64, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they condensed that into a 2D game that was – there was like five wrestlers. You could pick one, and then you had to wrestle the other five, and then you had to wrestle like Vince McMahon in the very end, and it was just such shit. It's like you could only suplex, pile drive, and then whatever your finish was. It was a garbage game. And they were porting that from the 64 game, so it was like such a letdown. It was such ass.
All right, so –
fuck that.
Since I took so long to answer, I'm going to actually respond with two things. Worst, as far as to recent memory, the most disappointing end to a game will be Shadow of Mordor. For me, and
I'm behind. Spoiler alert, please. I'm sorry.
Cover your ears, because other people will probably listen to this. So,
give me a sign of when I can talk, because I'm not listening. Go ahead.
I'll flip you off on camera. But for me, the worst, the most disappointing end to Shadow Mordor is you're doing all this stuff. You have these epic fights with all these Uruk-hai. You're fighting all the captains. You have all these ways to stop them. Halfway through the game, you fight the Hammer, who actually is an actual tough fight because you can't do all your evasive shit to get out of the way. And he can actually hurt you. And yep. then it's like you fight the tower, and like he's this terrifying guy. He has this huge face mask. He doesn't have skin on his lips, and he's like,
yep.
"Oh, this is gonna be the toughest fight on the planet." Stealth drain. You have to stealth drain him 3 times and just play stealth. And it's like I didn't encounter an instance where he could actually hurt me because he wasn't looking at me. I guess yep. maybe because I'm too good, but I was expecting like a swashbuckling fight. You know, I was expecting to actually yep. fight him. And then it's like, well, that was disappointing. I stealth drained him, and I just basically got mind fucked. And then,
so what's your other one?
And then building up. I'm sorry. I'm still talking about this. I'm still ranting.
How are you still talking about this?
Great story. I am back. I'm glad that he did not spoil that for me.
Earmuffs.
He's still talking about it.
I'm still talking.
Dude is the most long-winded dude I've ever met in my entire fucking life.
How is it that on your own show you?
Hey. We're talking about storylines here. I'm telling a fucking story.
So okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Unless you want spoilers. Endgame. You face a black hand of Sauron. Here's Sauron's right-hand man. And it's literally just a sequence of pressing buttons. And that's the final boss. So fuck
yeah,
that
disappointing.
Ending. That was disappointing.
Was...
Everything leading up. All right.
All right. Now, because you want to continue talking, what's your second fucking point so you can keep talking?
Worst game I've actually ever played. Is Sword of Mana on the Game Boy Advance. Because when I bought that game, I was on the impression, oh, it's based off the Legend of Mana game. Love that game to death. I actually got to replay that again. I actually bought a PS3 to download Legend of Mana on the software for PSN. I love that game. That was my favorite game with the PlayStation. Relived my childhood when I played it on PS3. Great game. In between the distance of PlayStation 3 when I finally rebought it, I got Sword of Mana because it was, okay, I have a Game Boy, this will work, I'm happy with this. I played it, and I was like, this is the most disappointing game I've ever played. It's so linear, it wasn't a sandbox like the Legend of Game Mana was, it was just terrible. Sure. So
yeah. I hate that. Yeah, the idea of something go, oh man, you guys are going to have to stop me. When someone is like... You think it's going to be a sandbox, you play a sandbox or something like that, especially when you played Morrowind onto Oblivion and Skyrim. When you play those games and Steve Molyneux comes out and says Fable is going to be the best thing you would have ever seen in your life, it's going to be better than Oblivion at the time, and then you come out and it's linear. They have closed, loaded maps.
Yep.
That was some bullshit, and I'm still mad.
I would actually say kind of build off of the whole like worst ending. Like, I saw, like, a top 10 worst endings in Fable 2 end up on there, and I think we can all agree with it, is that the game was, like, brought up so good, and at the end, it's like, all right, cool, shoot the guy in the head.
But, I mean, even in the second one,
you can't miss. You can't be like, oops, sorry, I hit him in the shoulder, he's not dead.
But then you remember in the end, you could, like, if you wanted to, you could, like, bring your dog back from the first game.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say that was the DLC.
I brought my dog back. Fuck
you
that.
You did?
I did. I said fuck all those people. I brought my dog back.
I brought the people back. How could you do that?
What was the DLC they had? The Summer Island or whatever like that.
You went to like the Pirate Island. You could bring your dog back that way. Because I got it after, and I was like, motherfuck.
That was the most middle finger ending. Because it's literally, like, they even say in the gravestone, hey, you know, this is the guy who has to cheat death and stuff like that. And, oh, you just cheat the system. Screw you if you do this. But, it's like, you know, you start off that game just straight up, okay, well, you know, you can choose your dog, you can choose your family, or you can choose everybody that died. And it's like, you're kind of, and I love it because, like, just on the standalone game, it's like, oh, man, that's such a tough choice. I love my dog.
It's not a tough choice. There's nothing tough.
Getting there. I'm just saying, like, the build of it, because your dog sacrifices its life to save you.
Yeah, and fuck like, the dog! The
it's
dog!
Like, oh, I want to give my dog protection. On the standalone game. And it's like, well, my sister died. My mom and dad are dead. Whatever. I want to bring them back to life. And it's it's like, you love your family. Like, you love your family in real life, so you want to help your family. But then it's also like, well, if you love family... Look at all these people that died in the Spire to build this. You can literally become the hero of Albion.
And it's a fucking video game. I don't give a shit.
But it's
fuck
like,
that.
You do that, and then it's like, oh, well.
Give me my dog back.
And it's like, all right, cool, well, I can just revive my dog, so I'll just be the good guy and everything like that. Honestly, if I could change anything about that, I'd love to go to the Summer Island and then get the Halo 3 assault rifle and then shoot the villain with the assault rifle instead of
there was some good Easter eggs.
Instead of pistol. Guys, you
Fable 3 wasn't great. I'm just gonna say that right now.
In my mind, going through here all this, did you guys ever play the Soul series, Kane? Not Dark Souls. Soul Reaver. Did you ever play the Soul Reaver series tied in with Legacy of Kane?
Nope.
Soul Blood Omen.
Kane like the wrestler?
No, I know there's people right now who are listening to this. They're going, oh, I know what you're talking about. Blood Omen.
And talk about it.
Soul Reaver. Soul Reaver, Legacy of Kane. The point is this. There was vampires eventually took over the world. There was this one vampire who evolved quicker than everyone else. He got wings. Kane knew this, who was a part of the Pillars of the Earth at first. But anyway, Kane saw this, ripped his wings, and threw him in this pit. Well, there happened to be an old god there. Point is, he made him immortal, okay? And then he could... The ending of the game literally ended with, when you finally get to Kane to get revenge, he opens up a portal and leaves. And then you later on find out, they legit tell you this, they ran out of money to finish the damn thing, but they knew they were going to do a 2, so they just left it at that and said, thank you for your patience.
That's funny.
I'm sorry, I'm so distracted at what the fuck AC is doing right now that I listened to most of what you said, but now I'm wondering if I'm about to see his dick or not. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I'm
going to
see my
this dick. This is why video... See, remember, they're just hearing our voices.
I know, that's what the terrible thing is. That's what
that's why I was like, why are we doing video?
AC, what are you doing,
trying
dude?
Trying to move and it didn't work, so...
God, it's so distracting.
Anyway. All right, so... Wrong.
I'm sorry. I was listening the entire time.
That was so ridiculous. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Vampires get attacked by Kane the Monster from WWF, and then they didn't have money to fix it.
That's exactly what he said.
So here's a new question I want to start asking everyone. And then also, if you guys have questions as well, or anything like that, go ahead and send a tweet to Regular Guy Gaming.
Nice.
At Red Guy Gaming. Send us a tweet. Give us a question. Let us know if there's a game you want us to review. And nice. For Ragbag, what's yours?
All my stuff.
Your Twitter, real quick, for a question.
Ragbag Jr., RAGGBAGG Jr., and that's more or less just to because Ragbag without the junior part was taken.
There you go. If you have questions or comments, anything, trolling, go ahead. Send us that.
Yeah, please. I love that stuff.
Wrong Alex Riley. You are now on... You're not... Riles Biles.
Riles
fucking right, Biles. Let me finish this because these are notes that I wrote down and I'm proud of this question.
I'm excited for this question. You really hyped this up, man.
All right, it's not about
this
being
better
alone.
Not be more island. Disappointing than the end of Shadow of Mordor.
You are alone in, let's say, the video game universe, okay? And all of you remember and all the ones you know are good, right? All of them. There is going to be this huge catastrophe, and only one could survive. Only one game.
Good question.
What game? And this one game, no, this isn't just for you. This is the human race only gets this game. What is the game choose to save? And you have to answer it.
This is some Fable 2 ending shit, man. Do I just choose my dog and get on with my life?
Nice. Good reference there, bud.
That was really good. That was well done.
Man, I mean, if it's the only game that the entire world gets, I don't know, man. It's like, I want to be, like, I know everybody listening to me talk so much about Fallout. It's going to be like, oh, he's totally going to shoot Fallout. He's talking about it now. He's totally going to shoot. Man, I think for me, if it was just literally you choose your game for you and that's it, I would definitely choose Fallout. If I'm choosing the game for the entire fucking world,
I've got two.
Well,
I said one.
You get there. You get on with your life.
Oh.
I would say if I have to choose the game that everybody plays for the rest of their life, I would have to choose Halo Reach.
Just
so I can be like the nice guy that's like choosing the game that everybody plays, and it's multiplayer. Like I'm assuming, like you didn't,
I liked
say,
it. Yeah.
You didn't say, yeah. They didn't say multiplayer was off limits. So
I did.
You know, everybody can play in, and everybody still has a game that they can network with. And everything.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly going to say Halo Reach was probably like my favorite multiplayer game. I tried Halo 4, and I was just like,
Halo Reach was awesome.
I don't know,
good
like,
job, man.
I love that Halo 4 like had customization and everything still, but I felt like Reach, like there was a lot. I felt like I was more invested in it. It's like, oh man, I gotta get this.
Halo Reach, that was a good. You just made everyone happy. Yeah. I had a moment of relief when you said that. Ragbag, what's yours?
I've got two. I'm gonna share both of them because I want to share both
if
of them.
You only
I'm
get
gonna,
one, man.
I'm gonna do two.
There's that
fine.
One
because if I only get one, then I'm gonna pick the stereotypical one that I feel like everybody else would pick, the one that I would.
Asshole.
Would actually be Minecraft. I'd totally pick Minecraft.
Oh my, you just say, okay, wow, the world really appreciates you.
Yeah, it's a great multiplayer game, and you can spend endless hours creating your own, you know, if all the video games left the world, it's like,
how many hours did we log in just building caves?
Too many.
Too many.
You made a legit bat cave in that game.
We had a bat cave.
Really? You made a bat cave?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go ahead and let you. What was your other one? Now, you did. You're right. You did fine. What was your other one?
Now this one, you guys probably, you know, this is probably kind of silly or whatever. I would pick Dying Light. Because
that game is so good, and it's the parkour in that game. And zombies.
So much fun. It's so much fun. Like it's. You can use a fucking 2x4 to beat the shit out of a zombie over the head. Otherwise, you can get like an AK-47 and just shoot the shit out of them. It's like, it's so much fun.
It was so much fun. And you know what
never
else you did? You inadvertently picked a multiplayer game.
Exactly. It's a great co-op game, too.
Yeah.
I feel like if the question is, you have to choose the game for the rest of the world, like, you can't not be an asshole.
And not choose multiplayer.
You can't just be like, well, I would choose Bioshock. And I was like, yeah, because everybody wants like Bioshock. I love Bioshock.
I choose Madden 12.
I love Bioshock. I played both games, like Bioshock 1, 2, and Infinite at least twice.
Bioshock Infinite's in my top 5 games list of all time.
It's a great game, but it's like, is that what you play for the rest of your life? It's like... Like, it's just kind of like, some people are like, well, I don't really play video games, so I would just choose this. And it's like, wow, fuck you, dude.
You know someone out there, and I hope that someone would pick Super Mario Bros. Everyone loved that. Let's do Super Mario Bros.
I fucking play that shit, dude. That game never gets old.
What I'm saying is someone would actually pick that, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
you'd
sure.
be playing somebody, it by yourself.
I mean, there's people that will definitely choose, like, Super Mario Kart, and then there you go. That everybody's right with the world. But, like... It's one of those things where, like, you can't pick
That's
a single
a good
player.
Pick.
Yeah, like, you can't pick a single player
You can't
game.
Pick a single player game.
Have,
I agree.
You have to, like, even if you're choosing fucking GoldenEye, where that was, like, the... That was,
wow.
Like, that was a...
That would have been a great
vintage.
Choice
that's,
because...
That's the Call of Duty before... Wow. Like, that was, like, Call of Duty split-screen shit, bro.
Man,
All right, RGG. What is your pick? And if you say Luigi's Mansion, I'm hanging up on both your asses, dude. If that's what you were going to say. I don't know if it's what you were going to say, but
nobody's seen this video, but he's freaking out. So obviously his whole mind got blown here. It's like, damn it, I can't pick that one now.
What's funny, it was like this whole setup
it's
for
funny,
that one
yeah,
joke.
It's funny, you're
this
gonna pick
this
that.
Whole setup was a Luigi Mansion
joke.
This
whole setup
joke.
Was a Luigi Mansion joke. Oh. No.
If that was the one game that everybody could play and that was the end of the world, I'd make my own video game. It'd be Fallout related, and my mission in the game would find you, slap you around for choosing that fucking awful game to end everybody's fucking life for the rest of the
McDonald's game.
A game,
and then a bunch of fucking synths would come find me. It's like, hey, you want to join our institute? And it's like, okay, this is enough.
I have this down, and unfortunately, I am that dick where there isn't a multiplayer-esque to it, but it'd be Final Fantasy Tactics PlayStation 1.
Wow, okay. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Nice.
It's not multiplayer, and I apologize to the world, but you can play that forever.
I'm just going to say this.
I was wondering which Final Fantasy you were going to pick.
It's kind of interesting because, like...
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Tactics, yep. There you go. But, like, that's the thing is, like, Final Fantasy, that's been, like, one of the, like... I would say that's like the franchise, one of the franchises of PS gaming, and it's interesting because, like, you know, even with like the mobile game that is coming out for Final Fantasy, that's already out. It's still relevant. It's, that's a game for a lot of people. That's a series for a lot of people. But honestly, in my head, I was not expecting a Final Fantasy answer. So, well played.
Honestly, I hate that they got away from turn-based action, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know why they got rid of that. That's so stupid.
You are the only human being I have ever met that has said that.
No way.
I'm not going
to ruin the series.
No, let me tell you something. Back in the days when I wanted to be a bachelor and, like, you know, Shane and I, we got a place. She used to play this Final Fantasy
game.
I didn't say the last name. Anyway,
yeah, but we all know who you're talking about.
Anyway, this is
relevant. Women wrestling.
Anyway, no, this is relevant because she's going to laugh. She used to have to work at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was when they first came out with just like Kingdom Hearts. I thought Kingdom Hearts was just a.
Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed.
You know what I'm talking about? It was just like that combat when it came out. Yep. You know which one I'm talking about? She would
play
Final
Fantasy.
Final Fantasy, I think it wasn't 10, maybe, was it 13 or something?
12 is when they first started doing the fucking...
Combat.
Yeah.
Right? Then maybe 12. It was Final Fantasy 12. But she would sit
13.
In this elevator area and grind this elevator spot from, let's say it'd be 10 o'clock at night. She'd have to work 10 o'clock in the morning. She would grind this until, I'm not kidding... till like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I would hear just combos all the time, absolutely all the time. Had it been me hearing beep 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 boom 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 boom, and then whoosh whoosh whoosh, I'd go. It was the turn. I would have been okay with that. But now with
you're
that chaotic,
like you're just like that's your sleep music.
Sleep
like,
music.
That,
yeah.
That's your
fall
traffic
into a Final Fantasy song at some point in time. I did. Final Fantasy 7. I would fall asleep
on
them.
I'm gonna totally nerd out here to you, nerds. But at one point, when I was subscribing to Nintendo Power, they actually sent me a CD of like the orchestra music for like everything from Super Smash Bros. So they had like the score for like. Fire Emblem and Metroid, all that stuff. Like they had to score for all the levels and everything like that, and all the franchises that were coming into Super Smash Bros.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That was my shit. Like growing up, like middle school, high school, and stuff like that. If I wanted to go to sleep, playing that CD. So I honestly.
So if you saw Riles Benales walking around in middle school with headphones on, he was probably listening to Super Smash Bros.
Are you being serious?
That's what you're saying.
Not. In high school, like if I was going to like that was like strictly like go to sleep music. Like that was because it was classical music and everything, and you know it helped kind of go.
Mine was the Mortal Kombat tape that came out with Mortal Kombat.
I'm
the
sorry.
Movie.
How do you go to sleep?
Oh my gosh, that movie was fucking awesome! I don't care who you are.
Yeah, because I would imagine that I was at the time I was doing junior taekwondo, so I could do a lot of those moves. So I would imagine that I was Scorpion, even though they treated Scorpion like shit in that movie.
Yeah, they did.
I imagine that I was Scorpion fighting Reptile in the Liu Kang Reptile scene. So I'd replay that music over and over and over again, and I would imagine all these fight scenes.
That movie was
That's fun. How I would fall
Speaking
asleep.
Speaking of kind of going back here to turn-based gameplay, because we were talking about Final Fantasy. Have you guys ever played? I know you haven't, Ragbag. You're excluded. So, Red Guy Gaming, have you ever played Fire Emblem?
I was going to go upstairs and show you my Fire Emblem for my Game Boy Advance. Nice. Yes.
Ray,
absolutely.
The first American one, or are you talking about Sacred Stones?
Fire Emblem, I forgot which one it is. I don't want to run all the way upstairs and go get it.
Is Lin in the game? The
it's the newest one.
So So sacred
stuff. It just came out on Game Boy Advance. I'm sorry, Game Boy Advance. I'm so old.
It's like 15 years ago.
I was about to say, like, man, that's not new. Like, that was out in my high school. Okay, so you know Fire Emblem. So, like, that's the thing. Like, in Nintendo Power, like, they would interview, like, the magazine editors. But, like, favorite game, most infuriating moment. And one of the people was, like, most infuriating, like, challenge. It's, like, trying to beat Fire Emblem with all of your characters alive. And, like, dude, you know it. You understand it. Because it's one of those things. Like, it's turn-based, but it's also, like, a game of chess because you have to move around everything. Based on a certain turn base, and you can only move so far depending on your character and all the damage and every, you know, it's like Pokemon where you're just like, come on, hit the right buttons to make sure that Pokemon is mine. And it's like, you do all the like buttons to make sure you miss, but it's like that it literally has nothing to do with anything. It just makes you feel better about your life. So it's one of those things where like if you had to restart if your guy died, because even though you could still play without him, you're just like, man, what if I need him? Like,
God,
what if he's important to the storyline future on? It's like, and then you're at the end game and then he gets killed and you're like, oh well, you know, I need him now because he's important.
Spoiler alert.
Yikes. That really just happened.
Spoiler alert, you just nothing.
That's cool, and we're just giving away ending the games.
Hey, we're winding down on time here. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in.
You
jump
in. I just said that at the end of the game, someone gets killed. You can't not keep the game going. Ah,
we're winding down on time. Yep, I think we could probably talk about gaming for literally ever and ever.
Yes, we could.
But AC, we asked this last time when we had the pilot episode. We asked pretty much everybody around the table, but what do you love about gaming, man? What is your passion about gaming? Why do you do it, what you do? Why do you play countless hours of Fallout? What keeps you bringing you back and putting that control in your hands, dude?
Honestly, because it's like, I love the role-playing games. I love the first-person shooters. I like the immersion. I like feeling like, I mean, that's honestly down the road. Like I told you, Ragbag, I'm definitely getting Fallout 4 VR when I get enough money for it, just for that sake of like literally putting on the visor. I'm like, oh, I'm here. Oh, wow. It's like, oh, there's Deathclaw. I'm dead.
You excited there, Riley?
I'm really excited. Yeah, is my nerd rage showing? My nerd rage boner? Anyways.
It is. Actually.
So, but like, makes I me mean, cool. with the first-person shooters, with the, you know, role-playing games, it's a lot of the immersion. Like, you feel like you're into it. And just like, for me, it's the storytelling. It's just getting away, you know, coming in from the 8-to-5 job and then coming home and being able to like play games like, oh, you're the defender of the galaxy kind of thing. You're fighting monsters and everything like that. It's like, it's not a real thing that's ever going to happen, but goddamn, is it fun to...
That escape is fun.
Goddamn, is it fun to act like that's the real
thing. It really is.
There you have it. It is the escape.
I'm never going to be a freaking Spartan super soldier, but goddamn, that I love playing like the Master Chief and kicking Covenant ass.
Yes. Nice.
Name drop. I'll pick that up after the interview's over. Isaac, you got two to pick up for the record.
I have none. I have no friends.
You're just building your own legacy, man. You don't need anybody's name drop.
You're not wow. like us. You don't need that.
That was nice. That was
yeah.
That makes me feel good.
Probably the nicest thing I'll say like all year to you. So, just...
guys, I need to go microwave my pizza. Let's wrap this shit up, dude.
And we're also I wanted these to be a half hour long, and we have gone
this
over
is
that
definitely
by a half
be.
Hour.
Oh, yeah,
so
I stop everybody in my house that is also using this internet for the chat.
I will say, Alex Riley, wrong Alex Riley, thank you very much for coming on. I was really excited to get you on because I knew that you were going to make it very clear on how you felt. I knew that you were going to be able to break it down and make it easy and fun to listen to for everyone else. I really appreciate that. It had nothing to do with the fact that you helped run the Grapple Talk network and would keep me on air. I swear it had nothing to do with that.
Well, Giving all those circumstances, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that you took the time to, you know, sit down and do this troubleshooting for an hour and everything. I enjoy the chat and albeit it was at the cost of the other roommates trying to do their chat and everything like that. I would say that it's definitely worth it. But I would say we should probably finish this up, so I stopped breaking them off. But thank you again for having me, both of you guys. It was always great chatting video games with you, and hopefully we'll do it again sometime in the future.
Awesome. Ragback, anything else?
Hey, man, I just love playing video games, and if you are listening right now, thank you so much for listening. And like Red Guy Gaming said before, hit us up on those tweets and let us know what you guys think so we can continue improving the show and making it better and better each and every time we do it.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening to us. You guys have a good rest of the day.
This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
So, Jesse, apparently we have to make a promo for our podcast, but I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to say.
Oh, come on, Nick. We just got to talk about Grapple Talk, where we talk about wrestling. It doesn't matter if it's the national stuff or the local stuff.
That's true. I mean, regardless if it's WWE or our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment where we highlight local talent, we cover it all.
Oh, we also got to plug the social media.
That's right. Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, and you can follow us on Twitter at TheGrappleTalk.
Man, that was a really good promo.
That was. High five.
Hi, yeah.
And there it is. Immersion. Allowing you to escape that 9-to-5, or as Riles Beniles said, the 8-to-5. And that's, I mean, everybody plays games for different reasons, but in the end, it really does come down to wanting to escape what's going on for that moment in time and just being a lone wanderer out there helping the people of the wasteland. Or, I don't know, flying around or being in Grand Theft Auto, that world, and doing really stupid stuff and trolling a lot of stupid people. For me, it's in the fighting game realm. I want to be Doomsday. You know, I want to destroy them all. We all have our reasons. And it's a lot of fun. Some it's played to be the best or want to get every achievement. Or for some, Ragbag, he loves it. He loves games, but I guess he also likes scaring the shit out of himself for some reason. Because I won't play games like that. I don't play horror games. I don't know why. Like Doom, I'll never forget it. I looked in the mirror once playing Doom, and it had like crazy flashes of evil stuff. It scared the hell out of me. It's games like Silent Hill. No. Even Resident Evil. Didn't play those games. You guys have got to go check him out, though, Ragback, on his YouTube. He's done with Soma, so you can have the full experience. So go there. Start with the first one and just listen to him. Watch. It is hilarious. It's great. It's scary shit. You're going to love that. A big thank you to AC Riley. Thank you very much. AC and Alex Riley. Sometimes I get gimmick names mixed up. But big thank you to Alex Riley. For coming on the show and making this easy. I really appreciate that. If you guys want to get a hold of him, maybe for booking or just looking at some of his wrestling or anything like that, get a hold of him on his Facebook. Is actually, I'm just going to spell it out. It's ACRILEYWI. That's going to be AC Riley with WI. That's his Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is actually easy. It's Wrong Alex Riley. It's on PSN Network, it is Wrong Alex Riley. And then on the Xbox 360, it's going to be Riles Beniles. Yes, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but I do stutter. Yeah, some of you are like, oh, yeah. Well, those who know I stutter. Now, those who don't know, now you know I stutter. And then for my co-host, who... he's been doing this longer than me, so have patience with me. I'll eventually learn. I'll find my pace. I'll find my voice in this. But Ragbag, check him out on Facebook, which is going to be RagbagYT. I'm going to spell it. It's RagbagYT. RagbagYT on Facebook. Twitter, it's Ragbag Junior. It really is, because he could not get Ragbag, so he decided to be Junior. On PSN Network, it's going to be Ragbag. And on Xbox, I guess I'm seeing this right. On Xbox, it's Ragbag. On YouTube, though, guys, here's actually the switch up. It's going to be Ragbag. RAGG, capital BAGG. So thanks a lot there, Ragbag. I can't believe I said Ragbag that many times in my life. That is burned in my brain now. Guys, go check him out. Thank you very much for listening to Regular Guy Gaming, and we will catch you next week.